2 Samuel 16, we're going to pick up the reading. And verse number 5, the Bible says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand, on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.' Then said Abishai, the son of unto the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head.' And the king said, 'What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?' And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, 'Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for this cursing, for his cursing this day.' And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and drew stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you so much. Lord, I know only you know what the hearts have this morning, Lord, and as far as a need is. And Father, where comfort is needed, where conviction is needed, Father, I just pray that you would speak to the hearts today, and something would be said today that would be a help. And Father, I pray your word be magnified, you'd be high and lifted up. Lord, I just pray that you would begin to do a work as only you can, and help us to grow closer to you, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We're getting back into our study on science and philosophy. And we've been going over some things that the Apostle Paul warns about to the people he's talking to in Colossae. And he had told them there, I'm just kind of reminding you as we get back into this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So he's saying that philosophies, men's philosophies, can literally ruin you. We get these philosophies, and we'll get a mindset that's actually a worldly mindset. And if you adopt that worldly mindset, it can completely control your life, and completely, the Bible says, spoil you. You'll get something in your mind, and you'll think that thing, and it'll mess you up. So we're going over different philosophies in the Bible, and we'll go through these stories, because the Bible says in Romans 15, all these things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
Right.
The only way you're going to have hope is through God showing you.
Right.
And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. I talked to a guy one time, and you know, you talk to some of these people, and this guy said, "I just hope I'm saved. Lord, have mercy." I said, "Well, I don't think like that." And he said, "Well, how come?" I said, "Well, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, Jesus Christ is our hope." I can lose hope.
Amen.
But as long as my hope's in Christ, I don't have to worry about losing my hope. Why? My hope's wrapped up in Him.
Amen.
And man, that changes the whole thing. Why? My humanity. Look, my soul's saved, but my flesh tells me every day, "Would a saved person do that?" Man, if I went by my feelings, I'd be lost all time. Well, hey, I mean, think about this, Brother Paul. Me and you both know, you working, man. You know, somebody makes you mad and you say, "Man." And then, now look, I didn't do it. But in my mind, I done grabbed, "You can't do that." Then the Spirit says, "No, hold on, you preacher." You can't be a brawler. You're supposed to be harmless and all this. Look, that stuff goes on in your mind. That's why your hope has to be anchored in Jesus Christ. Why? Because if not, a lot of us, I tell y'all all the time, all of us, we in here, we dressed up in our Sunday best. We all look good on the outside, but you know well as I do. You got stuff on the inside you deal with. Lord have mercy. If we knew it, if it was placed up on a screen here, what y'all probably thought of me sometimes, that probably hurt my feelings.
Amen.
Ain't that me? And each other. But guess what? That don't mean that we're enemies. Just look, them thoughts just run through your head. Yeah. Look, I'd go to hell on my thoughts if my hope wasn't in Jesus Christ. Never mind what I do on the outside, what slips out through the cracks. That's why it's got to be wrapped up in Jesus. You get these philosophies, and this philosophy will mess your mind up. I'm going to talk to you about a philosophy today. Philosophy of revenge. Revenge. Now, Webster's dictionary defines revenge as to avenge as oneself, usually by retaliating in kind or degree, or to inflict injury in return for something, such as to revenge an insult. Now, you think that don't happen today? You think that's not a philosophy today? This is a centuries old. This has been going on for a long time. This is not just something new. This is an old philosophy. William Shakespeare said, "If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge?" Shakespeare, way back then, even thought that it is a natural thing to revenge. He thought, man, vengeance is just something that's just in the mind. Everybody knows. I mean, you think about this. Have you ever, I wrote down a couple things. You ever thought in your mind, I hope they get theirs? Somebody does something, man, especially you watch that old devil vision. You get on there and see some of these corrupt politicians getting away with all this stuff and everything, and your flesh is getting there. Look, here's that revenge. They going to get theirs. I know something bad going to happen to them. You see, that's been crept up in your mind. You're not supposed to think like that. You're supposed to think, I hope they get saved and I hope they get close to the Lord. But then you'll say, there was a show come on. I don't know, you know, used to. Y'all used to, before I mention this show right here. I'm not saying go out here and watch this show. Used to, you could watch stuff, and if you watched it on like Turner Classic Movies or something like that, they would filter out the bad stuff. Now, they just throw it in there, just as much cussing on regular TV as whatever. So, anyway, I don't know. But that movie, Dirty Harry, I didn't know it until I got older what he said. He said, go ahead, make my day. I didn't realize that he was saying, it would make my day if you make me shoot you. I didn't realize, I was like, go ahead, make my day. Well, why is it going to make his day? Because he would be able to get revenge. You know what? You better watch out for that philosophy. It's a proven fact. I looked at case studies from 2013. And they did all these case studies on these people. And they put them through situations, like little situations, like money-wise and stuff like that. And they would test these, like 2,000 people at a time and stuff like that. And like give them a chance to be able to get revenge, but on a small scale. Every single time they got revenge, they always felt bad for it after. If you get revenge on your own and you start letting them thoughts creep up in your mind, it's just going to bother you. It's going to bother you. Yeah, you're going to get chances to get revenge. Why? I was talking to a lady one time. I say lady. She was young, but back when I was in college. She said, yeah, I tell you what. If he breaks up with me, she said, I'm going to key his car.
Oh,
I thought to myself, you rascal, you. So you're just going to key them and get revenge. See? Why? They listen to songs about beating people's cars up and stuff like that, and it gets in your mind, and you think, I'm going to get them back for what they've done to me. It's going to mess you up. You're going to get bitterness down in your heart is what you're going to do. Well, I'm telling you this because of this. Vengeance, the Bible says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If he says it's mine, do you think you can do God's job better than him? I tell you, it ain't nothing make me madder than do a good job, and you think you done real good, and somebody come behind you, and look, my brother, I used to wash trucks. My little brother could wash truck better than I could. So I washed that truck, and guess what we did? He come and he said, you missed this spot right here. And I go, man, now, what about two bugs on that thing? But what it is, look, Oftentimes, there are going to be little things that come and pest you and pest you and pest you, and you're going to think you can get back at somebody. Some kind of way, you're going to, if you don't do nothing else but run them down to somebody, that's a way to revenge. Now, I'm telling you that is because of this. The Bible tells you that the last days of the church age, men are going to be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, arrogant, disobedient, all this type of stuff. But in verse 4, 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, it says, traitors. Now, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that the Bible tells you, Paul said, that it's going to come in among you. You know, I talk to people about going to church and stuff like that. I ain't going to church anymore. So-and-so made me mad, or so-and-so did this. Well, you still go to Walmart and people make you mad every time you go to Walmart. Why does it affect church? So-and-so did me wrong down at the church. I ain't never going back. Apply that to the gas station. Why, you get down at the gas station, look, people ain't getting no gas. They just go and block the spot. And you got to sit there and wait on them. You don't go back to the gas station. They made you mad. Apply that everywhere. You're not going to apply that. What I'm telling you is this. If you let that philosophy govern you, it's going to mess your mind up. You're going to have that revenge. And I tell you, there's some things in there I think will help you. Malachi 2:16, the people that day were dealing with a lot of bad things. It says, For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he that putteth away, for one covereth violence with his garment, thinking he can just cover things up. Now, a lot of people think they can cover things. You're not covering nothing up before God. You can trick men, you can't trick God. Now it says this, saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit. That's what the Bible says in Galatians is temperance. Tempering you, getting to where you take heed to the inside. Don't go by your passions. Don't go by your passions. Why? Because look, this flesh wants to go by its passions. People say, I just don't feel like it. Look, I would never get anything done if I only did what I felt like doing. Some days I feel like sleeping to 10 o'clock, man. But guess what you got to do? You got to get up early, most times before the sun even comes up, and get your studying done, get your praying done. Because the day gets going, all the time you don't even have time to get it all done. You got to get up even when you don't feel like it. Now, the thing that I'm trying to tell you is this. The key to how to react to what all's coming, because you got to take heed to your spirit, is to look how to react right now. So when it gets here, you'll start to see a story on how somebody else reacted in a certain situation, and you can behave accordingly. That's why you read and you prepare. It's preparation. Now, there's some things in this text right here for our learning I think we ought to consider in such situation. The first thing I want you to see about this philosophy of revenge and dealing with other people is they serve a different king. You got to remember that. In verse number 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, Shimei comes out here and curses David. But I want you to know something about him. The Bible said in the middle of the verse, he was of the family of the house of Saul. Saul was the other king. He was being obedient to a different king. You got to understand, this lost world is not concerned about you. They're serving a different king, y'all. They're not concerned about what's going on inside. Look, David had just had one of the most traumatic events happen in his life. He's running. He's getting to the place. He's having, you're talking about family issues. All of us have issues of family. It's not just secluded to one person. It's everybody has got issues going on. Right now, there's things going on in this church. Devastating. The last thing they need, there's always going to be a Shimei to curse you somewhere. What about somebody to help you out when you're going through rough things? Why? Because look, it's easy to find somebody just to knock you down. You got to understand, when you see somebody comes up there and knocks you down, when you're down, they want to kick you while you're down. They're being a Shimei. You say, why are they doing it? They're under Saul. They want Saul to do well. So many people are so concerned about what's going on in the world today. They're serving Saul. It's not hard to figure out. They want Saul to reign. Why? Because when Saul's reigning, they can do all the sin they want to do. David's going to make sure things are done right. We got to realize they're serving a different king. Y'all, once you get that, it really helps you a whole lot. Now, here's some things, too. I can't control their actions or anything else. Look, they serve a different king. Their language is damaging. He's out here cursing David. Now, you think of this. I can control my speech. I can't control their speech. I can control the way I think. I can't control the way they think. I want to read a familiar verse to you, some considerations on somebody cursing you. Ecclesiastes 7:22. I want to read verse 21. I wrote down. I need to read verse 21. I may have told you this, but several years ago I was working in the Healthplex in New Albany, and I heard somebody say something pretty hurtful about me. I was around the curve from them. They said some bad things, and I went there and sat down in that office, and I got my Bible out, and I was mad. So I got the Bible out, and I turned to Ecclesiastes. You think this Bible ain't alive? I turned down, I was reading chapter 7, I come to this part, and it says, "Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee." Here comes the curse. And I thought, uh-huh, man, you talking about it, Lord, get him. And then he says, "For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others."
Amen.
You get somebody cursing you, and these people talking bad about you and run you down. You do the same thing about people too.
Amen.
You just maybe not got caught, or maybe they heard you and didn't tell you. Look, all of us have done the same thing. We've cursed other people. David knew he's probably talked bad about some other folks too. You say, "Well, so-and-so don't like me, so..." You don't like so-and-so. And when you get there at your house, you get on that telephone and you talk bad about so-and-so, and you say, "This is how you do it." You do it the right way. They go, "Bless their heart." And you know whenever you say "bless their heart," something bad's coming. "I love them, but..." Boom! You know what? Remember that next time your shimmy eye is cursing you. You've done some cursing too. Now here's another one too. Sometimes people curse you. They'll say thing about you with that damaging language. And here's one. Proverbs 26:2 says, "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." If somebody, you ever seen a bird? You ever seen those birds? They'll be going this way. All of a sudden, they'll go this other way like that. Well, you know what? You got somebody cursing you out. If it's causeless, it's not going to come anyway. You got the Pope up there, that great big old crazy man with that grapefruit on top of his head. Look, I make fun of that guy every chance I get. Why? He's sending countless souls to hell. He don't care about you. He gets up before millions of people and don't preach the gospel. That guy's lost a ball in high weeds. You say, "How come you know?" He don't trust Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, why am I saying that? Because he'll get up there and he'll say, "Cursed is so-and-so if they don't believe. Cursed is so-and-so." The curse, I don't worry about his curses. So just as much as I pay attention to the Pope's curses, don't pay attention when people say, "Well, this is going to happen to you, and I'll tell you, in 10 years from now, you're going to be..." They don't have no idea.
That's right.
The curse, they're just cursing you, man. Don't worry about what they're saying. Why? It says the curse called, it's not going to come anyway. It's just idle words. David knew this. It'll help you, because you're going to have people, you let this stuff keep going on and on and on as more Christian persecution ramps up in this world. You're going to be trying to do right and people are going to curse you for it. You just remember the curse called us shall not come. Their language is damaging. I thought about how Proverbs 25 verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." Look, know when to speak a kind word. When somebody's going through something like David's going, they're going through, don't go up there and say, "I guarantee you, man, I tell you, I know exactly it's coming on you." That ain't the time, man. This ain't the time to run people down. A kind word helps you. Look, it does good for somebody to say some joyful thing while they help you out mentally.
Amen.
Yesterday, this guy come down there to get his truck. And I had polished his wheels and tanks up, and that compound was all over me. I was solid black. All you could see was just my eyes. I was just looking. And man, this guy come up there and he brought his little boy. His little boy was almost four. And he come up there and looked at me, and he was holding his daddy's hand like this. And he said, "Daddy, does he need some baby wipes?" He just looked at me like, "That guy's dirty." He just staring at me, you know. And his dad said, no, don't worry about it. You know what? It does good to have some word want to help people. We ought to have some word want to clean people up, not just make them more dirty. There's some people, man, they just want to run you down, run you, just shimmy out.
Amen.
Just run you down, man. That hurt. That don't help people. It's when they're already down. Don't just keep kicking them. I tell you something, it'd make us mad if you seen somebody get whipped and here he is laying down and you just go up there and start kicking him while he's down. Some of y'all take up for him.
Now
you know what? Here you are trying to serve the Lord. You know how you can tell a Shimei? He's trying to curse you while you're down. You're already going through hard stuff. He's trying to curse you. That's Shimei. That's that philosophy. I'll get him back. If I don't have the power to do anything else, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just curse him. That's Shimei. We don't need to be like that. Not only is their language damaging, but they don't realize they're in immediate danger. Don't even realize it. The Bible talks about the world just being blinded. Satan hath blinded the minds. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You know what's wrong with some people? They're just blind as a dingbat, man. Just blind as a bat coming in backward. They couldn't find a bowling ball in a bathtub with a flashlight. What? Just blind. And we say, well, look, they don't. Look, this man is up here. David had all his mighty men with him. He's got guys with him. One guy went down in a snowy pit on a snowy day. Went down the pit, and whipped a lion. David had that man with him. They could have mopped the floor with this guy. He didn't realize he's in immediate danger. You know what? You got some of these people. They're just serving the world, the flesh, and the devil out here doing whatever. And we think we're going to do something about it. Well, I know what I'm going to do, and we're going to. Let the Lord handle why. They don't even realize the Lord could squash them like a bug.
Amen.
If the Lord wanted to, the Lord could allow them to lose their health right then, their mind right then, anything. Look, I'm drawing my breath because God says it's okay. The whole world, look, they're borrowing health from the Lord. Health and wealth. You, man, I'm going to tell you something. If it wasn't for God giving you the say-so, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. It's humbling to know that. You're alive right now because God is saying it's okay.
Amen.
The fact that this world thinks, here's Shimei, they're like Shimei out here. I'm cursing David, all he had to do was say, he got a buddy over here wanting to cut his head off. Don't you know that the wrath of God is, it's almost like this, just about to pour over like this right on this lost and dying world? And God said, hold on just now. He's like David said, I know y'all want to go down there and take care of it. We got to wait a little while. David saying, no, don't worry about Shimei. You know what we do? We worry about all these Shimeis. You got people trying to run you. You got things that look, you're the world, the flesh, and the devil's attacking you, and you're going to waste time dealing with Shimei when God's got it in control.
Amen.
Let him curse. What good is he? He's king anyway. He knew he was king. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. Now, I think about this right here. So many people don't realize the danger they're in when they're not following the Lord. I want to read, for me, I read this verse a lot, but I'm telling you something. You need to get this in your heart. You need to get this in your heart. Why? Because one of the biggest things, I can't help what the other people do. All I can help is what I do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, just before he says, in the last days perilous times shall come, the context of that, chapter 2, it don't go chapter 2, wipe the slate clean, chapter 3. Chapter 2 on into chapter 3. Chapter 2, the very last verse says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. What's that? People who won't repent? Look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. My worst enemy. I tell y'all, I look in the mirror in the mornings and go, what are you up to this morning? Huh? My flesh is always opposing me. Why? Your flesh don't want you to do well. Your flesh wants you to fail. Why? Because your flesh wants to follow the world, the flesh. It's only the inner man that counts. If you deal with that inner man, it'll help you with the outer man. You know what it goes on to say? If God, preadventure, will give them repentance. If God, who gives repentance? God does. What's it based on? It says, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If you won't accept the truth, God will not grant you repentance. And that's what that Bible says. It goes on. It said in the book of Acts and stuff. So many people wonder why they can't. You say, why don't they repent? Why don't? Because if they won't acknowledge the truth, God says, only by acknowledging the truth can you get repentance. So they get in the snare of the devil. So guess what? They're like, I saw. They don't realize the danger there. I was watching National Geographic one time, and here's a lion. The Bible said the devil goeth about as a roaring lion. Here's a little antelope, and this antelope was just hopping around, and this lion was watching this antelope just hop around him. That lion was just like he was enjoying his prey, just kind of he's playing, and that lion put his paw on that antelope, and I thought, Man, that's the sweetest thing I ever seen. I said, man, this is wonderful. This life. And all of a sudden, I said, man. And I got to think about this right here. That's the devil. That's what the devil do to you. He'll let you play around, let you enjoy yourself a little while, and you play, and you and he's got his paw on you, and you think, he's my buddy. And then he'll get you.
Amen.
And that's the saddest thing, man. Why? Because this world you see, and you say, Lord, save them, God. Help them, Lord. Help them. You don't realize they're just in the paw of the lion. He's just about to... You know what you can do? You can repent. And the lion of the tribe of Judah can whip that other lion. Now, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ... Here's the Lord. Here's if you read that Bible, you're talking about the exciting, man. Daniel in the Old Testament, he gets thrown in a pit of lions. And I've heard people say, well, them lions weren't hungry. Well, as soon as Daniel got out, the king threw the ones that was against Daniel in there, and they ate them. God said, hold on just a minute now. If you care about your life, you'll lay down and be a pillar for him just for a little while, and I'll feed you later on. The lion of the tribe of Judah can take care of you. He can whip that other lion. The Bible says of the devil, he's as a roaring lion. Why, his teeth were knocked out of Calvary. You apply the cross to that life, brother, and I tell you something, that lion, he can reach down and bite you and just gum. Just gum. That wouldn't be too bad, just gums getting on you. Oh, I appreciate that massage. What I'm telling you is it's the Lord's going to help you. The Lord can. He'll do it. Now, number two, they run on limited not. Good night. That can't be possible. It's 11:48. Y'all just, hey, we ain't having service tonight. Y'all just calm down. It's y'all's fault. Y'all listening too well. Number two, they run on limited knowledge. Look, they have an element of truth. I hope this will help you. Look at this thing. He says this. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom in the house of, in the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. I want you to know that oftentimes the devil will use an element of truth. See, they run on limited knowledge. They have an element of truth. I want to read a verse to you in 1 Chronicles 28. And this helped me, and maybe it'll help you. In 1 Chronicles 28... This is what the Lord says about David. If I can ever get there, I can't half turn my Bible half a time. Listen to this. The Bible says, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. That's what the Lord said about David, because David wanted to build a house of God. So what Shimei says about David being a bloody man, there's an element of truth in it. Everything else was false. It didn't happen. The Lord didn't restore the kingdom of Saul. You know what the devil will do? He'll use an element of truth in your life. Yeah, you've done something bad. Yeah, David had done shed some blood. But y'all, that's just the element of truth. Look, we've all done something bad. Every one of us. You go away, look, we like to hide, think God knows what you did.
That's right.
And you know what the devil will do? The devil, never mind none of the good stuff you've done. The devil will always go in there and he'll go, you remember that? And you remember that? And you remember that one thing right there? All he had, you know what the devil will do? He'll use the element of truth. It's good for food. Mm-hmm. It's pleasant to the eyes. It's desired. That's all true. But he didn't say it to kill you. He'll use truth in your life. One little thing you've done, they go back and they'll do this and he'll do that. You know what you better recognize? That's Shimei. That's the philosophy of revenge. That's the devil trying to get back at you and trying to get you to where you won't do nothing for God anymore. I've messed up. I can't do nothing for God. What if Simon Peter had said, man, I cussed out a little maid. What if Simon Peter said, I denied the Lord three times? People say, well, you go to hell for denying the Lord. Well, Peter denied the Lord three times, still went to hell. I mean, what I'm telling you is this. He done some bad stuff. The devil will bring up one element of truth in your life and keep picking that thing like a scab and trying to get that thing open. You know what you better do? Get the bandage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Lord Jesus Christ cover it. Why? That's Shimei trying to mess you up. That other thing you can't do, you didn't do this right, and I know you didn't do this one thing. And that's Shimei trying to curse you. Well, you know what you need to do is take some a heart right there and realize what's going on. They run on limited knowledge. Look, you don't have no idea why somebody's going through what they're going through. Job's friends, here's Job's friend. They say, I know you must have done this. God said it was perfect. They didn't even know that there was a spiritual transaction between God and the devil taking place. You try to guess what's going on. This fellow over here and this lady over here, and she's having a hard time. Why don't you try to help them through the hard time and try to stay in what all they've done? Why? Because that shimmy, that revenge in us, it's in that flesh, and it wants to figure things out that only God knows. That shimmy. Now, I want to tell you, not only do they run on limited knowledge, they have an element of truth, but they don't have any regard for others' tribulations. This man right here had gotten to the place where David's going through one of the hardest times in his life, and he didn't care at all. He's just going to bring more on him while he's going through everything. You know what we need to do is not bring... Look, there are people who've lost their jobs, lost their livelihoods, don't even know where they're going. I mean, y'all, there's some of the worst stories out there. People who... Their relatives are sick. People going through some of the worst things. The last thing we need to do is come up here and be like a Shimeite and don't have any regard for their tribulation and make everything worse for them.
Yeah.
When people are working hard, look, some of these people are working from daylight to dark. And you come up here and go, you wouldn't believe it's going to happen in the world. Inflation, you know, and all this stuff. Some people can't handle that stuff, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, you got there's a couple people you can talk to some of the serious issues about. But y'all don't go up here with some of these people who are weak in the faith. The Bible talks about in Romans 14, weak in the faith. Don't go up here and tell them, hey man, I tell you this thing about them implode, man. Some people can't handle that stuff. You go up here and tell them, and just add to the load. Man, I had a buddy one time, I worked with him at Lowe's, and he thought I was way strong on what I really was. We'd be loading stuff up, and he'd be just adding stuff. I'm like, I can't carry nothing else. Oh, yeah, you got one or two more, man. Go ahead, we can carry all these more. I can't carry nothing else. You know what? That's how we do with people. A lot of times they're going through, you just add to them. I had a roommate in college one time, lazy rascal. Wouldn't hit a lick at a snake. And if the snake bit him, he still wouldn't hit a lick at a snake. You know what you find out? I'd be cleaning up and stuff. I'd be headed to the garbage can. And he said, hey man, on your way to the garbage can, you care to get that empty thing of milk over there? Man, I've already got all kind of, y'all, there's all kinds of stuff going on, and we don't need to add to what's already going on. Not only no regard for tribulation, you know, I thought about tribulations, and I was reading some things as we go through stuff and how to go through it with the Lord. I was reading a story about this guy and his servant. He had a servant, and he was talking to it like this. Back then, evidently, these people were like uber rich, and they had servants. And they were talking about their servant. He said, man, my servant is so loyal. That guy right there is loyal. And he said, well, let's test him out. And he had some real bitter, I guess they're watermelons, but the story said melons. And he said, see if your servant will eat that melon and not even ask any question about it. So he told his servant, he said, eat that melon right there. And that's a weird thing to ask somebody. But anyway, he scarfed that melon down. It was bitter and just scarfed it and didn't say a word about it. He said, man, why did you eat that melon like you didn't even ask one question about it? It's bitter. I know that thing was terrible. He said, you've done so many things for me in my lifetime. It didn't hurt me a bit to take one bitter thing from you. You know what? Here we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and oftentimes some kind of bitter things happen in our life. And look, think about all the goodness He's done. Remember how much, we forget in the bad, we forget how much good we have.
That's right.
We can take a bitter thing for our master. Guess what that guy did? He set that servant free, made him a rich man. He said, now that guy right there needs to be over some people. I thought about some of this tribulation and stuff like that. And there was a guy, he had him a real, he'd invested everything he had on a peach farm. And you know what happened? He just sunk every dime he had in that peach farm. Man, his peach farm had done really good. A frost came up, completely destroyed his peach farm. Well, he stopped going to church, and his pastor came to him after several weeks and said, hey man, what's going on? And he said, I hadn't seen you in a long time. He said, I ain't coming back to church at all. He said, well, how come? He said, look, the Lord let my peach farm be completely destroyed. He said, frost come in, just completely destroyed my peach farm. I'm not going to serve a God like that. You know what that pastor said? You know what? I know peaches don't grow too good in frost. But he said, God's not growing peaches. He's growing men. And sometimes men have to have the frost in order to grow a little bit. You know what, in our life oftentimes, we wonder what's going on, God's trying to get you to where you've been through some frost yourself and some bad things yourself. So when the thing comes along, you can help somebody else. You've already been through some frost. You've lost a few peach farms. And you know what it's like to suffer loss. The only reason we relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, why? The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are. How can we come to Him for help? He's already been through all those things. He knows what you're going through. I thought about this last thing. I'm trying to close, but man, it's just too much. I thought about this thing on. I was reading about vines. You know, the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I'm the vine. Well, the Colossians says, my life is here with Christ in God. So I'm inside that vine. Now, you think about vines. We've got some trees out behind our house, and they got vine, and those vines are just wrapped all around those trees. Now, when a storm comes, sometimes the storm's coming like this, and the storm's coming from the south, and that wind's blowing. Guess what? The vine that's on this side of the tree is protected from the storm. A lot of times, God will protect you from the storm. But guess what? The vine that's on the other side of the tree is pressed up closer against the tree. You know what? Oftentimes God will protect you, but oftentimes God lets a storm come in your life to press you up against the tree. Sometimes you wonder what's going on. Maybe God's allowing that storm to come in there to press you closer up against that tree to get you closer to the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes you wouldn't have never got that close had it not been for the storm. I'll tell you something. As you get along in your life with the Lord, it's amazing how you look back and you can see that sun shining through the cloud. You ever been driving down the road and the sun's literally just kind of like poking through portions of the cloud like that? That's how the Lord, man, sometimes you can't see Him, trying to see Him, and there's another ray right there. A lot of times that's why we're seeing through a glass darkly. We can only see partially. I read this poem about sunshine and through rain. It says, help me to see the sunshine through the rain. What I count loss may somehow be gain. Help me to sing when I would cry, knowing that Thou art standing by. That helps you. The last thing is this: David obeyed the law of kindness. Proverbs 31 talks about that virtuous woman obeying the law of kindness. Here, you will adopt their speech if you don't watch it. Verse number 9, Abishai says, hey, I'm going to... Why is this dead dog curse my lord the king? He said, I'll go over and take off his head. If you don't watch it, you will adopt that. You'll be talking just like them. You say, man, oh, so-and-so so bad, all this stuff, and they're doing all this. I can't believe all the things that's going on. And before long, you adopt the same mentality of revenge they do. And you may not do it to the abundance they do, but you do it on a small scale and adopt that stuff. And before long, you have that mentality. You can't get in with it. You got to stay away from it. I thought about David. He's going through this thing right here. And I thought about him not adopting that speech and all this stuff. David is going through a fire with the Lord, and the Lord's just pulling that dross off of him. Why? God's making a leader out of him. You know what God's doing with you right now? He's making something out of you. That's why the Bible talks about being into the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forming you. He's knocking off all the rough edges off of you. That's what God does. You know what David later on says? In 2 Samuel 22:36, David said, Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. David knew something. God protected him oftentimes, and David said, hey, you are gentle with me. You think about David. He was about to kill Saul in his anger one day, and he wasn't supposed to do it. And he ended up not killing him in that cave. He just cut off a little portion of his skirt and everything else. Didn't, when he could have killed him. And God saved him from going, because he said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointing. Everybody said, David don't keep his word. And David went ahead and killed Saul anyway. Here's the chance this time to actually practice what he preaches. He goes through this right here. And you know what God's helping you a lot of times? to actually practice what you preach. You've been telling people, hey, you need to serve God. Hey, you've been telling people, hey, God will get you through. And they watch God get you through time and time and time again, and it builds up their faith. Why? Because look, all eyes, just like all eyes were on David, eyes are on you. Why? People know you're a Christian. We got Bible, some of us got Bible verses in our yard. We leave our house on Sunday, go to church and stuff like that, and people are watching how you handle what you... David and all his men were watching how he handled what he was going through. And guess what he did? He passed the test. He said, man, let him curse. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. We've been entrusted with a lot of power. I thought about... We got the power of the gospel. That's a lot of power.
Amen.
It's the power of God unto salvation. You've been entrusted with that. You've been entrusted with the power of the Bible. You've got the Bible in your lap. You've been entrusted with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost of God's on the inside of you. You've been entrusted with that. I tell you what, that's a lot of power. David had a lot of power. Now you think about some of these things here. Not only that, but he learned how to pick his battles. You got to learn how to pick your battles. Some things just are not worth fighting for. Y'all, I'll tell you something. Brother Dennis's sermon, Heels to Die On, I got that sermon just about memorized. Why, there's some things in your life that are just not are worth fighting for. Why, they're not worth your time. You'll waste time doing it. Now, a lot of times, as you're picking your battles, you don't realize what's really doing the damage. Oftentimes we'll look at a person in particular, and I do this myself. Have y'all ever a dog? Well, I gotta watch this because you got some of these animal lovers. I love animals. We got animals all over the place, but I gotta be. I know y'all ever a dog done something real bad? Tore up all your best pair of shoes, and you go out there to whip that dog. And if it's, let's just say it's a mean dog, and you whip that dog, and he tries to bite at the newspaper. See, but anyway. All right, now you think about this. The dog's biting at the newspaper, but what's doing the whipping? Is the newspaper? Is the hand? Man, the devil's beating on you and trying to knock at your door and trying to knock you down. And here you are biting at the newspaper when you're forgetting it's the hand swinging the newspaper.
Amen.
You know what people often forget? Man, this is done there. I know I can see. It ain't nothing you can see. It's a spiritual battle. The Bible says you wrestle not against flesh and blood. You think it's flesh and blood when it's a spiritual issue and we need to go to God. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't go fight this thing with guns and ammo, whatever. Why? You've got to fight it in prayer unto God and take it to God. Otherwise, you will not get through it. You're not going to do it. Look, David has realized something. This is a spiritual issue going on. You think that little old guy would have just come up in his own power? He's coming up in the power of the devil with that kind of boldness. You know why a lot of things that's going on in your life? It's a spiritual. You're blaming yourself. You're blaming so-and-so. You need to get with God, with Him in the Spirit, and say, God, I need You to help. My flesh can't do this.
Amen.
You come to that, man, you talking about being able to defeat that spirit of Shimei. You won't have that revenge. Why? You'll let God do what God alone can do. Now, here's the thing I want you to see in closing. Got you out almost on time. Here's the closing. Only the Lord can see your hearts. Only the Lord can see the hearts of others. Look, are you trusting God's dealings in all your things? Or are we going to try to do everything on our own? You know what David had gotten to the place? David had gotten to the place where he said, look, let him curse. God take care of him. You know what we've got to do? Let God take care of it. And it'll change the way you look at your situations will change once you quit saying, hey, I can go over here and lobby. There's no telling what kind of enemies he would have made nobody, and he wouldn't have felt any better for it. You know what we can do? Give it to God and let Him take care of it. I hope that was a help to you. Let's close out in prayer. Dad, if you would close.